Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. It's Bailey and Noakes kicking off hour number two here in the clubhouse. Send us an email, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com, danny.noakes@cumulus.com, and you can find us on Twitter at @theclubhouseKB and @DannyNoakes. Every Friday in the second hour, we are joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @ChrisColemanTSL. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Bailey and Noakes. Yeah. Sounds like a law firm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
That's what I thought.
Often
yeah.
feels like one, too. Yeah. And just before we get going here, we got Tech Sideline in every Friday. And big news that we announced yesterday on Twitter, and we talked about it on the show some. National Signing Day is a big deal. It's a big event every year in the college football world. That's coming up on Wednesday of next week. And so we are proud to announce we've partnered with Tech Sideline for our National Signing Day coverage. We'll have hourly updates throughout the day, courtesy of the guys at TSL. And, of course, Chris will join us again next Wednesday to break down all the signings and the new players at Virginia Tech. And we'll also hear from Coach Justin Fuente. Should be a big day.
Should be a big day. Signing Day is always very enjoyable. Thank goodness there's no basketball game that day, because that's happened in the past. It's been kind of a double whammy. But, yeah, it should be a fun day. New players coming to the program. They haven't made any mistakes on the field yet, so everybody loves them. So, you know, it's just like when you bring in a new coach and they haven't coached the game yet, everybody loves them.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I think Tech has a chance to close strong in this class with some good prospects.
No one's fumbled the football yet. No one's been suspended. And no one's
everybody's
failed
perfect
expectations.
So far.
That's
yep.
right. That's exactly right. Well, like, what's a... What is it, 18? I guess 18 commitments in this class or 19?
Sounds 18 or 19.
Oh, I guess it's 18 because the punter from the other day, he committed, right?
Yeah.
But he committed for like 2 weeks and then changed his mind?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah? Marshall Long.
Shane Beamer eventually offered him.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
He's a Georgia native, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he? I think he's from China Grove, North Carolina.
I don't know.
I know he lives in China Grove, North Carolina right now.
So Shane Beamer swooped in and stole the punter, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a Shane.
What a shame.
Yeah. I mean, there's some irony there that a Beamer swoops in and steals a special teamer there. There's some irony that I'm not even going to try to encapsulate. So 18 guys, and I guess Tom Luganville of ESPN, who, I don't know, take him or leave him, he says that Tech should be pretty excited about this class.
You know, he was. I was reading Mike Barber's tweets, and, Luganville was particularly excited about Divine Diablo, it seemed like, the wide receiver out of North Carolina. And I really like Diablo, too. I think he's got an opportunity to play right away. I like the wide receiver class as a whole, but I like Diablo in particular. This isn't going to be Tech's highest-ranked recruiting class ever. But I think I'm going to do an analysis and look at overall Power 5 scholarship offers for each of these guys after signing day. And, I don't know it for a fact right now, but I think the numbers are going to come out and say this – in terms of scholarship offers, this class is going to come out a little bit of ahead of a lot of Tech's past classes from the last 5 years or so.
Picking up a guy like Divine Diablo, though, is just going to be big for the wide receiver depth. I mean, you've got enough.
They have to have it.
Exactly. Yeah. But they have so much talent there in two guys, in Cam Phillips and Isaiah Ford already. Stick Bucky Hodges in there, and now you get Divine Diablo. So that's exciting.
But as Chris has talked about before, you do have three pretty reliable, two really dynamic pass-catching targets. But in Justin Fuente's offense, you need about six.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And here's the thing. You know, Tech needed to sign a good wide receiver class this year. They had no choice. It was like when they signed Isaiah Ford and Cam Phillips. They had no choice but to sign Isaiah Ford and Cam Phillips, or they weren't going to be able to field an offense the next year. I mean, they would have thrown receivers out there on the field who had no business playing football at the Division I-A level. In all seriousness. And that's why that there was no depth but behind those guys this past year, is because the only other receivers on the team had no business playing football at this level. It's just the way it is, throwing the facts out there for you. And now they're signing some more guys that have business playing football at the Division I level, guys who were highly coveted by other teams. Divine Diablo, offered by North Carolina, Clemson, a bunch of other teams, Eric Kuma. Same thing. South Carolina came in and offered Samuel Denmark. Phil Patterson had a solid offer list. They're still trying to flip Rick Wells.
Florida, right?
From the Florida commit. And the Tyrell Pigrome from Alabama. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's a high school quarterback, but he's a really dynamic athlete who would be a slot receiver. It's always kind of a reach when you go after a quarterback and you commit it and you convert him to wide receiver. But, you know, one of those guys per class, if you really need wide receivers, is worth taking a risk on. So this is going to turn out to be a good wide receiver class for Virginia Tech. Even if they don't add anybody else to it, it's already going to be a good wide receiver class. And it had no choice but to be a good wide receiver class. I mean, no choice at all in the matter. Because, I mean, you know, we've gone 2 years now without Isaiah Ford and Cam Phillips getting hurt. What if one of those guys had gotten hurt this past year or the year before?
Well, you said it.
Bowl streak's over.
Yeah, well, you're right. We talked about it during the season that, you know, there were two positions, the quarterback of the offense and the quarterback of the defense, that, you know, guys they had to keep on the field, both of whom got hurt, by the way.
Of course.
And then, of course, you pointed out that at the same time, you know, Isaiah Ford could have also been a disastrous loss to that offense, and luckily for them, he wasn't. But jump in there.
Well, I would argue, though, although that I would, at the time, I would have agreed with the fact that quarterback and inside linebacker were the two positions that Tech could least afford an injury at, but I would say that that was not the issue. When both of those guys went down and weren't playing, there were issues other places, because I thought Motley played pretty well. Heelskamp played pretty well when he stepped in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think we were more so speaking of coming into the season.
I think that's what we pinpointed,
but you're right. I mean, it turned out there were other problems.
Right.
And
yeah.
Other balls
obviously deeper issues.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be the case. And honestly, I don't think if you're out there recruiting, and I've never recruited a high school football player. I don't have any desire to, personally. But I would imagine that if you are Justin Fuente and if you're Holman Wiggins and you know, the guys out there recruiting on the offensive side of the ball, that you do have a lot to sell. And not because it's Virginia Tech with a winning tradition and that stuff. I'm talking about the fact that you have playing time to sell and you have a head coach with a proven track record of a dynamic offense. So you said it. This wide receiver class had no choice but to be good. And even though the offense has not been great, the combination of Fuente's arrival and a lot of playing time to sell, it was a no-brainer for some of these guys.
I think so, too. I think that's a great combination. You know, and the fact of the matter is this receiver class committed to Virginia Tech before Fuente even got here.
That's right.
So that early playing time was obviously a factor. Zon Burton did a good job recruiting those guys, too. He's a good recruiter, in my opinion. But I think it was easy for them to stay committed to Virginia Tech because I think they were walking into a better situation, quite frankly, than they would have been had the old offense stayed on. And they would have had to go through a coaching change a year or two from now anyway. So, I think it worked out for those guys, and I think they realize it, and I think it's going to be the best thing for them.
Talking to Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris Coleman TSL. We talked to Andrew Allegretta yesterday. He spoke with some of the early enrollees, I guess 2 days ago now. He said the one guy he didn't get a chance to speak to was the one that most fans probably want to hear from at this point, and that was Jerrod Evans. I suspect we'll probably hear from him via the Hokie Sports National Signing Day Live deal they got going on Wednesday. They're not going to give him to us, and I wouldn't expect them to on Wednesday. But I don't know. This quarterback thing is such a big deal, and we all know that, right? I mean, the quarterback battle is going to be a really big deal this spring. But it looks like this is going to be a battle between Jerrod Evans, Dwayne Lawson, Brendan Motley, who it looks like is going to stick around for this thing. Is this thing going to take all the way through spring into the fall? Do you think they'll have a clear-cut starter by the time spring practice ends? What do you expect here?
In a way, I hope. Well, if they do, I hope it's because somebody just absolutely blows them away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I would love to see there be a lot of competition there and for those guys to make Fuente's decision difficult for the right reasons. I think it's a good sign that Dwayne Lawson is staying with Jerrod Evans. I like Dwayne. He's a good kid. He's a very talented player. I think, you know, he's probably got a little growing up to do as far as adjusting to college from, you know, 14 hours away from where he grew up or wherever it was. And that's tough, especially when you got a kid back home and everything like that. But living with a stabilizing influence like Jerrod Evans, who, you know, was admitted to the Air Force Academy out of high school. This is a level-headed, mature kid. I think that's going to help Lawson. And everybody's talking about, oh, is he going to transfer? You know, maybe he will eventually, maybe he won't. But I think he's going to be a better quarterback this spring than he was this past fall, because I think he's going to be in a better situation. I think living with Jerrod Evans is going to help him. Brendan Motley is an experienced guy, obviously. I mean, he's a player, started, what, 5-6 games for Virginia Tech this past year. He's a fifth-year senior. I think it's going to be a highly competitive situation, and I think that's going to be good.
The other thing that I'll say is when we talked to Andrew yesterday, remember the guy that he talked about being the most impressed with when he walked away was Josh Jackson, the incoming freshman quarterback from Michigan. And that's obviously going to be an interesting dynamic too, because he was really a Loeffler recruit. Obviously, Loeffler was real close with the rest of his family.
I'm surprised he showed up.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he followed through on that commitment. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
To a certain extent.
Then again, I don't know what his offer list looked like, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, Penn State made a late push on him. But I think when if you're committed to Virginia Tech and you like the school, and then all of a sudden your new head coach has developed two first-round picks or possibly two first-round picks. And, you know, maybe you figure out maybe I'm walking into a better situation than I would have otherwise.
Yeah.
Which I think in this case he is. And I think he was smart enough to realize that. And this guy, he's the son of a coach. You know, it's not like he has some handler putting bad information in his ear. He is the son of Fred Jackson, the longtime Michigan running backs coach. Mm-hmm. This guy knows what he's talking about. This is a coach's son. So, you know, I think when they all met, they hit it off. So I'm excited about him too, but the thing I'm most excited about is the opportunity to redshirt him. I was so afraid that, you know, Lawson was going to transfer, or maybe Motley would transfer, or maybe even both of them would transfer, and you're like, oh gosh. Now here we go again.
It's Gerard Evans or bust, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't redshirt Joshua Jackson and everything like that, but now they're going to have the opportunity, I think, to redshirt Joshua Jackson and put him on the proper developmental track, and I think that's huge for his future.
I think so too. I do. I really think that, and I just the idea that you'll have at least potentially or conceivably the combination of Evans, Lawson, Motley, and Jackson. Mm-hmm. I don't know the last time this program had that kind of quarterback talent and athleticism at mm-hmm. the position. I mean, experience, the mixture thereof. Because, I mean, you do have Motley, who's played a lot of games. But, I mean, look at what Evans did at the junior college level. Lawson's a big-time recruiting talent, Josh Jackson. So, I mean, when was the last time, if at all, they had this kind of quarterback depth?
You know, I think maybe 2007 when they had Sean Glennon and Tyrod Taylor mm-hmm. and then Corey Holt also.
Right.
So, and, you know, Corey Holt was always a third string, but he was a talented third string.
He was.
He was a guy who could really throw the football. So probably 2007, 2008 when those three guys were on the roster together.
It's still a little bit. I think it's still probably a little bit disappointing that they weren't able to redshirt Lawson. They kind of had to throw him in and kind of burn a year, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure the kid was disappointed in that too.
Yeah, and that's why I was, you know, a little bit surprised that there wasn't any sort of transfer rumors from him. But there were rumors.
Yeah, there were rumors.
Well, more tangible rumors,
yeah.
I should
right,
say.
Sure.
But, I mean, he was a guy that came in and people were comparing him to Cam Newton. Now they're doing the same thing to Gerard Evans. So I'm really interested to see what the difference between those two guys is going to be. And if Motley can even split the difference or take it over. I mean, if he's staying, he has to feel like he can compete for that job, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see. Spring's going to be interesting.
It is.
Yeah, it's
going to
be fun.
The spring practice is going to draw a lot of eyes and a lot of attention, more so than in recent years, because of the novelty of Fuente and these new guys at quarterback and something we haven't even gotten to yet, the running back position. No more Trey Edmonds mm-hmm. as he's moved on. Want to bring that up when we come back. We know it's basketball season, and we're going to get there because Tech has lost three straight now in league play. They've fallen to 4-4 in the conference, and they got Pittsburgh on Sunday. So we're going to get to all that, but off-season football stuff, there's plenty to talk about with National Signing Day coming up on Wednesday. And again, we're partnering with TechSideline.com, Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, to bring you the best wall-to-wall coverage of National Signing Day coming up this Wednesday. We'll take our first break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more off-season football and how Notre Dame took a big rig all the way across the country to court a five-star recruit and the degree to which that is just absurd. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot of other things. Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.